Are you hunting for a solution for your commercial or residential rooftop? Well, don't look any further than Flawless Roofing SureSeal Incorporated. You can check out Flawless Roofing SureSeal Incorporated at flawlessroofing.ca. You can also check them out on Facebook. Yes, on Facebook as well, under Flawless Roofing SureSeal Incorporated. Flawless Roofing SureSeal Incorporated has been in operation since 2012 and offers superior roofing solutions for both commercial and residential rooftops. Owner and operator Daniel Felice prides himself on working with only the top-of-the-line materials, including Lexcon and Lexcor products. With over 30 years of experience in the roofing industry, Flawless Roofing provides exceptional roofing solutions and is sure to exceed your expectations. Also, currently, Flawless Roofing is one of the few recognized EPDM installers in Northern Ontario. Check out their website. That's flawlessroofing.ca. Check out, again, their website, flawlessroofing.ca, or check them out on Facebook, Flawless Roofing SureSeal Incorporated. You can contact them at 705-943-1777. Flawless Roofing SureSeal Incorporated, offering superior roofing solutions for both commercial and residential rooftops. Flawless Roofing. Protect your investments. Start at the top.
Sports fans, hang those team jerseys or other collectibles in style with help from the guys at thesportdisplays.com, as they have you covered. Thesportdisplays.com. Hang it, display it, or show it off with the jersey mount. The jersey mount is an affordable, easy to install, and kick-ass way to decorate your man cave, dorm, home, or office. Went to a totally badass concert and want to show off some of your memorabilia? Yeah, the jersey mount can help you with that. Or how about that wrestling pay-per-view event or live show you recently went to and you want to show off that wrestling collectible in style? The jersey mount can help you with that. Or you want to represent your favorite sports team? The jersey mount has you covered. Installation is so fast and so easy, and the best part, you won't damage your wall. Pick up your jersey mount today over at thesportdisplays.com. Hang it, display it, or show it off with the jersey mount at thesportdisplays.com. Get yours today at thesportdisplays.com. Thesportdisplays.com. One more time, thesportdisplays.com.
Booyah, and it's time for the Game Sports Show. It is your host, David McKaig Jr., and I'm joined for this first part of this Wednesday, December the 21st, upload of the Game Sports Show by the one and only in Escanaba, Michigan, EJ Russell. EJ,
yo,
how's it going?
Good, and I apologize for any background chatter that you can hear on my microphone. I just got done doing my show with Radio Results Network, but I'm happy to be here and talk some football. I apologize for the long absence, but like I said, I'm not going anywhere.
Now, EJ, before I get into what the whole layout is going to be and what the first part here and the second part is going to be, can you please remind our listeners what show you're talking about or what they can tune into for you? Give yourself some love there because you're doing a hell of a job.
Sure. So the show that I have the pleasure of hosting right now is called The Sports Throwdown. It's heard all across central upper Michigan. You can catch it on AM 1450 WMIQ in Iron Mountain, Maverick 96.7 in Marquette, and Eagle 107.3 right here in Escanaba. It's the UP's only live local, regional, national sports call-in show. You can always call in with us if you're ever interested. The phone number, we repeat it every show. But you can call in, throw down with us, and basically – it is a show that is very similarly designed to what Scott Nason did for this great company. And I wouldn't be able to do this without him, of course. So shout out to the late, great Scott Nason.
Love that shout out. And you are doing quite fantastic indeed. Check him
Thank
out.
Thank you.
I definitely check out the app you can download. You can check EJ out on Facebook. You know, I know we do the no free ads on this show, but you know what? That's not a free ad when one of our family members here on TGSS and TGEM is representing us in a different way without promoting us, but doing his thing and thriving doing his thing. And some real sports throwdown. Love that title, too. And you can throw down with EJ. And trust me, You can try to debate with EJ. It's no easy task. So anybody who wants to stand up to EJ and throw down or debate, talk sports, call into that, okay? That's what I got to say. Now, for this edition that we're doing here on the podcast, the Game Sports Show, it's a combined edition. Now, we've done these on this show, but it's never been for In the Pocket. In the Pocket's always been its own entity, but it is the holidays. It is Christmas. It is New Year's around the corner, and this is actually our official last news show of 2022. We do have a special edition upload by prior to Christmas, but after this, this will be our start of our break. We'll be back January the 9th with Butch, Dave, and friends on Monday, January the 9th is when we will be reviewing. Now, here's the thing, EJ. First time ever, we're doing a split podcast here with In the Pocket and Top Shelf. We've done Strike Zone and Top Shelf together before. That was a common split up show because of having the same sponsor. But now, since we don't follow that same sponsor and we got the same sponsor in connection with SportsCenter Bar and Grill and Flawless Roofing, SportsCenter Bar and Grill, Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario's best sports bar for 6 years in a row, an original home to the Game Sports Show, and of course, Flawless Roofing, which is available to be contacted in Thunder Bay and Sault Ste. Marie. Over 30 years of experience for commercial and industrial roofing, it makes sense to combine this. So for this part of the show, it's going to be myself and you, EJ, doing In the Pocket. We're going to talk our usual football content, a little bit more brief, little news, little bites, little tosses there, if you will, and also our pick'em before we go to commercial break. And then upon commercial break, I will be joined and making his debut on the Game Sports Show, Avery Roush. You would know Avery Roush from our TGEM platform that we are in the sports umbrella for TGEM. He's the host of the Bitter Rivals podcast for hockey, where him and Gaetano being the full-time co-host with Daniel Scarpino, our soccer show. And of course, Gaetano's a Habs fan. Avery's a Leaf fan. They have endless bickering and debating about both the Leafs and Habs in the National Hockey League. So to bring Avery Roush on, very excited as he'll be joining the Game Sports Show family on the Top Shelf editions. And he will also be doing some hosting duties of Top Shelf as well in the future. And I'll get to that whole thing later on. Now, that's the agenda for the show. EJ, let's kick off here and go. And I took that intro from our full-time upload. The Scarpino has that every time he starts off a soccer edition, he mentions, let's kick off. I wanted to take that and also want to promote Scarpino for his most recent upload. The World Cup final was absolutely unbelievable football or soccer, whatever way you want
probably
to call it.
Probably the greatest match ever played.
It was so good. So good. So good. I'm so speechless. And
it was exactly what it was billed to be. I mean, Messi goes out, gets the free kick to score the first goal. Then was it Damasa or Damara, whatever his name was, he gets the second one. And then they're in that second half and they get to like the 80th minute and everything in that building just feels like Argentina is going to win this. And then Mbappe, bang, free kick. Like 90 seconds later, Mbappe again, bang. Kylian Mbappe just like made France deliver in that game. And then they go to extra time. Who scores the first goal? Messi. Boom. Now the golden boot's back in his hands. Then they go a couple minutes later. Boom. Mbappe scores again. Now the golden boot's back in his hands. And then to take it to free kicks. Oh, what a final.
Oh, unbelievable content that was. And EJ, both Daniel and Gaetano get into that. But again, very excited to have Avery have his debut here and kind of ease
the World Cup. How do you not watch World Cup? This show, we cross borders, right? It's American, it's Canadian, it's whatever you want it to be. But every 4 years when the World Cup comes around, you got to get excited.
You got to get pumped for it. And Avery making his debut here on the Game Sports Show on behalf of the Top Shelf segment of the show will also be very exciting as well. Now, EJ, getting into the football side of things, the pick'em. I'm going to get to the pick'em first. I'm going to get to the pick'em first because we are getting closer, sort of. And what I mean by closer is the standings got a little bit tighter by a game, but EJ and I are basically mirroring weeks from this point.
It's not out of the realm of possibility for a comeback to occur.
No, it isn't. And and realistically, I never thought this could be as close. But let's go through the standings. No joking around 142 points. That's EJ. Yours truly chugging kegs, Damn, I hate that name. I just wish I wouldn't have chosen that. 134.
It's a fine name. Just suck it up and own it.
134. Hikes picks 125. And then Ouellette 5 with 116 to round up the four for that. Both Justin Hike.
How amazing is that Tyler, like the expert gambler, is the worst at picking games?
And it's the second year in a row he's in last. And both Hike and Ouellette are currently away today. Obviously, Hike is on paternity leave until the new year. And then, of course, Tyler is off. Occupied in Fort Myer. Got it this time. I always say Fort Lauderdale. Oh my goodness, I got it. But that is the standings. And you got EJ and myself, the top two in the pro pick'em for the Game Sports Show Pick'em League. And I want to go to the picks first, EJ. But since you're in first place, I want you to choose who chooses the games first.
I'll let you go. I already got mine locked in.
Oh, you got yours locked in. I like that. Okay, so... You know what?
I tell you, Dave, I always lock them in before we start the show. And I will be honest here. Last time I was on the show and we did the pick 'em, I said that when the Vikings were playing the Lions, I said I might switch that pick. I did not. I hold true to everything that I've said on the air.
You do. You do. I do have an asterisk from last year on one of my wins. But you know what? I'll be honest. I don't have my picks locked this week, which is good because now that means EJ didn't go and people won't think I mirrored. So I'm doing, to start off, of course, Thursday nighter. I don't think that's a really bad game to watch, actually, because I know the Jets are slight favorites.
This is a better game than its build. Trevor Lawrence is coming on nicely, and the Jets have played some good football this season.
They have. It's been surprisingly. But I'm picking, even though despite not being the favorites, I'm picking the Jags over the Jets, the Bills over the Bears. I'm picking the Browns over the Saints. I say that with a little enthusiasm, if you will. Titans over the Texans. I'm picking the Chiefs over the Seahawks. This is my one gambler pick. I'm picking the Giants over the Vikings because why not? I have a feeling is why. I don't hate that. I don't have any expert reasoning behind that. I just have a gut feeling. I am picking also the Patriots over the Bengals. Again, another gut feeling going with being at home and kind of rebounding after a tough loss to the Raiders last week. Lions over the Panthers, Ravens over the Falcons, 49ers over the Commanders, and I'm picking the Eagles over the Cowboys. I'm picking the Steelers over the Raiders, and no, that's not a shocker because I did pick against the Steelers a handful of times this year. The Dolphins over the Packers, the Rams over the Broncos because the Broncos are just the Broncos, and then Russell Wilson starting. The Bucks over the Cards, and the Chargers over the Colts. Oh, the Colts. I wish Justin Heichel was on this podcast this week. My goodness. But I am picking the tiebreakers. The Chargers 28-7 over the Colts because I'm an asshole. Then I'm picking the Buccaneers over Arizona. And I picked that game, a game of 34-14. With the most points this week, actually, I am picking the Bills to have that over the Bears. And, of course, with the least, I am going with the Bears because I don't think they're going to get more than a touchdown over the Bills. They'll be lucky to get a field goal. I just got a feeling I'm feeling like an asshole this week with some of these picks, but I got to gamble a little extra and go with my gut on some of them. That's Keg's picks. EJ, over to you.
It's going to be interesting. Somebody's going to have a week here between the two of us. I got the Jets winning at home. Bills beat down the Bears. I think that's a blowout, potentially the blowout of the week. Browns over the Saints, Titans over the Texans, Chiefs win at home against the Seahawks, Vikings against the Giants. I think the Vikings have had enough scares in the last few weeks. They need to come out and play confident. However, based on their inability to be consistent this year, your Giants pick isn't crazy. So I'll give you credit there, but I got the Vikings. I do have the Bengals over the Patriots. I think they're playing good football right now. Lions over the Panthers. Detroit Lions, the most dangerous team in the NFL at this time. Ravens take on the Falcons on Saturday at 1 o'clock. I got the Ravens winning that game. 49ers beating Washington at Levi's Stadium. I do have the Cowboys winning in Jerry World over the Eagles. Raiders over the Steelers. I think the Raiders are one of the most underrated okay teams this year. The Dolphins, I think, are absolutely going to smack around the Green Bay Packers. The Rams I have beating the Broncos. Tampa Bay beats Arizona, and the Los Angeles Chargers will be victorious over the now record-setting, collapsing Indianapolis Colts after letting Minnesota come back from down 33-0. Greatest comeback in NFL history. So sorry, funny. Hype. But Chargers, I have beaten the Colts. That game, though, I have being close because I don't think the Colts are going to be quiet this week. I think Chargers are going to win that 24-21, and I think that might be the best game this week. I have the Buccaneers beating the Cardinals 28-16. I see a lot of field goals from the Cardinals since Kyler Murray's out. Colt McCoy has been an okay backup in his career, but interceptions are an issue, so I think they only get field goals there. Most points this week. I actually think the Miami Dolphins are going to score a lot against the Green Bay Packers. Amount of points this week, I have the Chicago Bears.
You know, okay, EJ, I know I wish we can – I want to go back and forth on a couple of topics because I know we only have a total of, you know, around the 20-minute mark for – and we already hit 12 for in the pocket is kind of our sweet spot for this. So, you know, the game against Indianapolis is something I do want to touch on. I do want to touch on the Lions in Green Bay. The reason why is because, of course, a large demographic of our listeners in terms of football fans are Packers, Lions fans. And, of course, you got the Browns in there. You have some Steelers fans. No, not because of me. Actually, Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario, it goes between Steelers and Packers and Lions.
Everywhere.
Yeah, there's that. So we talk about all teams, of course. But to give a little love, EJ, one question about the Packers, and we can just make this a yes or a no, then we're jumping to the next thing. Do the Packers make the playoffs?
No.
I agree. Couldn't agree more. The Colts leading 33-0 and blowing that lead, EJ, is comparable to what? I say Toronto's 4-1 lead blowing against the Boston Bruins in 2013.
Oh, you had to, you son of a bitch. You couldn't even wait until the next segment to bring up.
Had to. It's Christmas. It's a season of giving. But that blowout, is that worse than the Falcons losing to the Patriots in the Super Bowl?
I mean, no, it's not worse. I mean, in context, yeah, it's a worse loss to lose in the Super Bowl 28-3, but 33-0 is the greatest comeback in NFL history. I feel bad for Matt Ryan, right? Matt Ryan was 10-4 going into that game after a bye week and now becomes part of the two greatest losses probably in the history of the National Football.
What were the odds? Do you know? I didn't see the odds of the comeback. Was there any announcement with that? I don't know if you know that statistic.
Let me pull this up. I have the game cast here. In the first half, the highest percentage for victory of the Indianapolis Colts was 99.6%. And that was at the – I'm trying to scroll to it and get it right. That was 99.6% when the Colts were up 36-7 against the Vikings. It was the highest percentage of victory. It significantly flipped into Minnesota's favor, 65% when they tied the game late there in the fourth quarter. But I've never seen quite the loss like that.
Oh, I wish I would have thrown money on that, but it's always wish and wish. Now, the last point, the Lions. Is this a team, EJ, that – pulls off some more magic this year? Do they find a way to squeak into the playoffs, this team?
Well, Amon-Ra St. Brown is having a very good year. He's the first wide receiver in NFL history to accumulate at least 150 receptions and 150 rushing yards through the first 30 games of any player's career. And there's only one quarterback in the NFL right now to start each of the last 6 weeks and not have a single turnover, and that's Jared Goff. And when you combine those type of numbers and statistics with the complimentary running game that they've had with Jamal Williams and DeAndre Swift since he's returned to the lineup. This team started 1-6 and have been 6-1 in their last 7 games. The Lions, these are not the same old Lions. They're for real this year, and Dan Campbell has the boys buzzing. I do not want to play the Detroit Lions if I'm any team in the NFL outside of a 10-win team.
And you know what? I'm glad you brought up.
Even if you're a 10-win team like the Vikings, you can still be taken down.
I'm glad you brought up that stacks. I brought it up to both Butch Davis and to Tyler last week. Jared Goff has not thrown an interception since November the 6th against the Packers, and he continued that streak against the Jets last week. And he has thrown for over 1,500 yards without throwing an interception. That is a stat that is maybe underrated, but I don't think it is. It's almost like a like I was thinking maybe about a basketball kind of an analogy, because you do have on the court differentials in basketball, you have errors in baseball that you can compare to it with that. You can also, of course, go plus minus with hockey. Either way, whatever sport you're thinking of, that's maybe a comparable, but the interception's a lot more of a dominant stat to consider, because in football, you throw an interception, your team goes down for a touchdown, that can lose you the game. All right. It happens in the other sports. Ah, it's just a statistic on the board that's like, it may not lose you the game or depend on the circumstances. So that's a very impressive stat by Jared Goff to not have thrown an interception since November the 6th against the Packers, and to continue that now for, we're hitting now almost a 2-month mark with that going into action this week against the Panthers on Christmas Eve. And Jared Goff has really stepped up, and this is a Super Bowl quarterback, EJ. This is a guy who has maybe been underappreciated or a little bit underrated. You know, not that he's going to be an all-star.
No, but he kinda, if you're going to bring up the Super Bowl, he kind of deserves to be a little underrated. That was one of the worst Super Bowl games I ever watched.
So true. Good point. Very good point. But he maybe he's not as bad as people thought he would be.
You can credit him for playoff victories and getting there, sure. But if we, like, when people say that Jared Goff's a Super Bowl quarterback, it's like, yeah, but barely, you know.
But barely. Couldn't agree more, because it's close. He still has more to
prove. I mean, he got there.
But if he gets there with the Lions, then he can cement himself as a playoff.
If he gets there with the Lions, he's going to be considered one of the greatest quarterbacks in the history of the NFL.
100%. Move over Brady. Now, EJ, I want to give you the floor on a few things that you want to bring up in the world of football. It could be college, NFL. I want to give you the floor before we go to commercial break and welcome Avery to talk a little hockey.
Well, I'll just say this. There are a few teams that can be eliminated in Week 16 this week. You have the Jets, the Colts, the Falcons, the Packers, the Steelers, the Raiders, all at the risk of being eliminated. And then you also have the Saints and the Cleveland Browns at risk of elimination. The New Orleans Saints at 5-9 come into First Energy Stadium to face the Browns at 1 o'clock on Christmas Eve. Browns sitting at 6-8. The good thing for the Browns is that they're 4-3 at home, and the defense seems to be playing better since Deshaun Watson has come back. The Saints, I don't know if they're a good team. I really don't think that Andy Dalton's the guy there. Nope. Yeah, Alvin Kamara's had a quiet year there. I'm not sure if he's even healthy at this point. But Nick Chubb has been quiet in these last few weeks. The Browns' rushing game hasn't been able to produce, and I think that some of that's because they're trying to knock the rust off as far as Deshaun Watson's game goes. The Lions are going to take on the Panthers on a road game. Lions are 3-3 on the road this year, but they're a very, very different team on the road than they are at home. When they're at home, they score over 32 points per game, if I'm remembering this statistic correctly. Yes, this is a Lions team that is 4-5 in their last five games, and again, 6-1 in their last seven, but they come off of three big wins against the Jacksonville Jaguars, where they absolutely smacked them around 40-14. Big win against the Minnesota Vikings, and then you win against the New York Jets in a last-minute victory. These Lions are on a roll. The Panthers, I don't know if they know who they are. They brought in Baker Mayfield, then they traded him away, then they put in the kid from the XFL. Now they're back to Sam Darnold. I just don't know if the Panthers have a winning formula going on there. The game of the week has to be probably the Eagles and the Cowboys. Mm-hmm. Dallas is 7-1 at home this year. However, Eagles are undefeated on the road. Their only one loss coming at home this year. I believe that was to the Washington Commanders. But Dak Prescott and the Dallas Cowboys look to get rolling here. Zeke, it looks like he's been a much better player in these last few weeks. And then finally, you have the Raiders taking on the Steelers, the 6-8 Raiders against the 6-8 Steelers. Like I said, both of those teams, again, possibility of being eliminated from the playoffs. Look for Pittsburgh to have a nice day at home, but I think that the Raiders, with the pieces that they have in Derek Carr, Josh Jacobs, and Devontae Adams, I think they're just a much better team. As far as college football is concerned, the only news worth talking about is that it's official. Arch Manning is signed. The number two overall player of the 2023 ESPN 300 class has officially signed to play at the University of Texas. So look for Arch Manning to be running across your screens here in the near future. Part of the legendary Manning family. So it's going to be some exciting football in Texas's future, but that's what I got as far as football news.
EJ, as always, bringing it, running it, and getting it home, going 100 yards for the touchdown. Way better than Harrison did in the Super Bowl against the Cardinals, let me tell you. No,
that was a great play, though.
That was one of my favorite football moments of all
now,
time.
And I want to make sure that you know this, just because I could be salty because I hate Pittsburgh Steelers.
Why?
If you go back and you look at that replay, Larry Fitzgerald was flying up the sideline. I can't remember who it was that stood in the way. It was either a referee or Anquan Bolt or somebody that wasn't supposed to be there. But if that guy wasn't in the way, James Harrison would have never gotten the end zone and Larry Fitzgerald would have caught him. So almost the greatest chase down in NFL history, but that was a great play.
It was a great play. And honestly, I don't remember who it was who got in the way. I'd have to really look.
I'd have to look up the YouTube video. It wouldn't be hard to figure out.
I honestly thought it was, I keep hearing a lot of things about articles from US Today about Antoine Roll, saying that he got thrown under the bus, but I don't think it was him.
I can't remember who it was, but when you watch the replay, you can see clear as day. And Larry Fitzgerald has talked about it in interviews. I can't remember who the player is, but got in his way, and that's what prevented him from getting to James Harrison.
Maybe Larry Fitzgerald truly didn't want to get there because he played his college football in Pittsburgh and wanted Pittsburgh.
Oh,
to
yeah,
win.
That's why. Throw it away in the biggest game of your life.
Starting rumors for one of the most classiest wide receivers of all time, Larry Fitz.
Yeah, no rumors about Fitz. No. He's a god.
Legend.
Good guy. Hey, you know what I love about him too? So he went to Pitt, didn't end up finishing there with his degree. And then when he goes to Cardinals, you know, at the time they were playing in University of Phoenix Stadium. And so what does Larry Fitzgerald do? He decides to get his degree from the University of Phoenix. And when you graduate from there at their physical campus, you get to walk across the stage, and that stage is on the Cardinals field inside of their stadium. So Larry Fitzgerald got to get his high school diploma inside his home stadium, which is pretty cool.
Very cool. Now, a quick shout-out here before we close off to Steeler legends, me being a Steeler fan, of course, knowing this. Franco Harris, there was that immaculate reception. People want to look back at that. It's really cool. He passed away today at the age of 72 years of age.
And this is the 50th anniversary of the Immaculate Reception. The Steelers were actually going to honor him at the game this weekend.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
We talked about it on my show today, and I actually played the clip of the Immaculate Reception, and it's so much fun to still listen to. It's just pandemonium.
Now, everyone should check that out because it is a great clip and a great video overall. Now, EJ, we've had fun, a little bit of extra time on In the Pocket, and we're going to go to commercial break because after this, we got to talk a little hockey still, and we got to follow our time constraints with the show splitting it up in two. But EJ, I appreciate you taking the time to join me, my friend, talking football here and In the Pocket, the last show of 2022, easy for me to say. And we'll be back with In the Pocket on January the 11th. And people will know that there might be a kind of a new hosting and talking discussion format, but it's all exciting and good stuff because In the Pocket's going to bring the same content. And obviously, I'm not afar as the voice of me still needs to be on the show. It's the original show of the Game Sports Show in Canada. It is the first one, even before hockey shows, believe it or not. So In the Pocket, we'll be taking our Christmas holiday break after this, EJ. And it's going to be a big pivotal week in our pick'em. So I want to wish you a rest of your happy holidays, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and all the fun stuff there, my friend. You make sure that you enjoy all the time with family, loved ones, friends, and that you absorb it because it's Christmas is going to come and go, then we're going to be right back here talking what we love.
Thank you so much, Dave. Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, all that good shit to you as well. I tend to be more of a Christmas Scrooge and try to keep to myself, but I'm sure I'll end up spending some time with friends and family, but happy to be here as always.
Of course. I still got to give you the sign-off, so when I close off In the Pocket and say go to commercial, you can do your catchphrase to get out for our listeners. So
thank you.
I'm going to let listeners know, and viewers, of course, that a lot of good things to come up with the Game Sports Show and TGM, but of course, this has been In the Pocket, sponsored by SportsCenter Bar and Grill, Sammy Ontario's best sports bar 6 years in a row, and Flawless Roofing, SureSeal Incorporated. And now we're going to hear a couple words from sponsors. Very quick commercials, I promise you, not even 30 seconds. And then we're going to have the debut of Avery Rausch here talking on Top Shelf. You don't want to go anywhere.
Get them off those crooked hangers and onto the wall using your very own sports display jersey mount. You're proud of them, so show them off properly. Simply screw the mount onto the wall, hang your favorite jersey on the rod, and snap it into place. Quick and easy access to your favorite jerseys on game day. Personalize it with your favorite team or slogan, Sports Displays.
And welcome back to the Game Sports Show. This is the combined edition. It is your host continuing to join you, David McCaig Jr. And this is the second segment of the show. We've talked football at the beginning with yours truly and EJ Russell, December the 21st, 2022. And now we're talking hockey on this one. For the first time ever, we're talking football and hockey on the same show. Listeners, like I said at the beginning, you've heard baseball and hockey combined on an addition, but in the puck, it's always been its own sweet candy. Same with hockey. It's had a lot of its own sweet candy with a little bit of love of baseball, but now we're bringing two sweet candies together here for a little Christmas present for you. And I got another Christmas present for you. We are bringing in Avery Rausch. Now, I'm introducing Avery, and I'm giving him the whole introduction at the beginning of who he was and what he does on the platform of both the Game Sports Show and TGM. But just to remind you, he is the co-host of the Bitter Rivals podcast with Gaetano Gallo. You hear Gaetano on the full-time edition with Daniel Scarpino. They've been doing a podcast for well over a year now. They do the TGM on there. They upload every Sunday. And of course, they'd upload more as they go. You got Avery as a Leaf fan. You got Gaetano as a Habs fan. But they talk all hockey, of course. But you got two fans of rivals and endless bickering. Okay, that's the best way that I can put it. Great podcast. Check it on the TGM Network. But now Avery is spreading his wings and has officially joined the Game Sports Show family. And as I said at the beginning of the show, Avery is going to be doing some hosting here on the Game Sports Show with the Top Shelf Edition. And of course, co-hosting on the Top Shelf Edition. It's going to be more of a structure, but you're going to have to wait for that announcement when I do that upload about the new layout of the Game Sports Show. But enough of me talking for the past minute 20. Let's bring in the one, only, and welcome Avery Rausch for his first edition on the Game Sports Show. Avery, my friend, welcome aboard, and how's it going?
It's pretty good, thank you. Appreciate, obviously, the hospitality around here. It's been great so far. thanks for shouting out Bitter Rivals there. Me and Gaetano have a great time, and I'm very excited about what we're about to do now and what we're going to do in the future. So, really excited. Just finished a long day of work and I'm ready to talk some hockey. So let's get to it.
Talk some hockey. And of course, just remind listeners, I'm a Leaf fan. So is Avery. Par's a Leaf fan. Heiko's a Leaf fan. We are invaded by a lot of Leaf fans, but we got Oilers. We got Habs. We got Wings. We got the Sabres. We got different crew here. And Avery, you came and met some of the guys at our Christmas party, our first annual Game Sports Show and TGM Christmas party. It was only about a couple hours at Sports Center Bar and Grill, which is our sponsor on the Pocket Edition. But it was good. We had some pizza and wings, and we were talking some hockey. The Leafs were playing the Capitals at that time. And, of course, you know your stuff about hockey, of course, because you're a Leaf fan. That's why I'm going to be biased and say that. And you had a great upload the other day with talking about the Leafs, and it's on the TGM platforms. You can check it out, of course, so make sure you do that, viewers and listeners. But I want to hear it from you because I want this segment to be more about centered around you, get you introduced, and get you to chat a little bit more than myself. The Leafs this season, okay? All right. It's Christmas time. I think we've had a good little Christmas gift this year. It's been a decent – it was a great November. It's been a pretty good December. You know, they went on a couple games slide, but a big win against Tampa just last night. And they got the Flyers on the schedule this week before they go into the Christmas break, quote unquote, because they don't play until a couple days after Christmas. What are your thoughts about the Leafs at this point? And even the goaltending side of things, Murray and Samsonov doing their thing.
So far, as you said, it was a tough October. They started tough. Everybody was freaking out. We all know we were calling for coaches' heads. The camera wouldn't get off of Kyle Dubas during the games, which obviously only happens when things aren't going well, right? That's when you start looking at the manager. And then November comes, and just like last year, they did exactly what they did last year, except this time they actually had better goaltending, better defensive numbers, and that was a huge, huge part of it, right? So they could always score. Everybody knew that. Last year we had the MVP. You have Mitch Marner, William Nylander, John Tavares. Everybody knows they're one of the best offensive teams in the league. Some would say they have the best four pack of forwards in the league, right?
Yep.
And then what's really tied it together this year, I think anyway, is just shoring up that back end. They're a top five team defensively. They have two of the top 10 goalies in the league right now, both goals against and save percentage. So that goes a long way. And that really kind of, it puts you in a different echelon, right? Because now teams start thinking about you as somebody who would be a team you don't want to play in the playoffs, which is, as we know, something the Leafs have had an issue with for years now, half a decade. So the fact that they're kind of changing their identity and making their identity more of a tight ship, and even like the numbers are showing that, you got so much more, it's so much more even when you look at the scoring numbers on the Leafs this year. You got William Nylander's got more goals than Austin Matthews. All four of them are within 5 points of each other. And I think that really goes to show the camaraderie and the brotherhood that they've built there. And the back end, especially considering the injuries they've had, I'm honestly astonished on how good they've been, and the pieces they've just been able to plug in and kind of work with are amazing to me. What do you think about that?
I could. The defense is the biggest shock. You go out and you have Jordy, Ben. Sorry, I meant that on purpose just so everybody knows. The guy has been actually a stud when he's in the lineup for Toronto. But jokes aside, you have TJ Brody, Morgan Rielly. You have guys go down. You've had Liljegren battle injury this year. Back in Muzzin. I can't believe I'm forgetting about Jake Muzzin. The guy is...
Well, that's the thing, right? Is people, like at the beginning of the year, the top three were probably Brody, Rielly, Muzzin. That's what you would say is were the Leafs' best three defensive defensemen. Yeah. And they all went out at the same time.
They did. And Mark Giordano has been a stud. He's like, everyone stepped up. And even when they were short guys, they were 9-0-1 in the 10 games, first 10 games, without Rielly in the lineup. And that just shows the depth. And that's the one thing that Dubas has stressed is depth. And he really believed in the goaltending. And I loved the Samsonov signing when that happened for Toronto. There was a lot of doubts around Murray. But they got a team that's retaining some salary. They got value for taking Matt Murray. And it's paid off to this point. You got a goalie who wants to be there and who can actually – he has that persona that he can handle that pressure in Toronto. Overall, this team is doing well. And arguably – they do have a better goaltending team than last year. I would have said at the beginning of the year, despite my doubts with Matt Murray in the crease for Toronto. Samsonov was an underrated signing. I loved that signing. I know he had a struggle game against Washington. That happens. But he has been consistent, much like the entire core and team overall for Toronto. And it's good to see. I don't want fans to get their hopes up because it's still the regular season. There's still a second season to go. As long as barring nothing falls off the rails for them not to get there, they have a team that can be really impressive. And if they can get through and slay that dragon to get through the first round, Avery, I think there's a lot of good things coming for Toronto.
Yeah, I think once they break through, those floodgates are going to open, and you're going to see something that people have been waiting for almost 60 years now. So,
I'm going to that parade. Let me tell you, book off work. I don't care what goes on. I don't care if my director hears this from work. I don't care. I'm off. I vacation, sick time. I don't care. I'm going to Toronto, and I might take my shirt off down there too.
Yeah, I've always told people when they win that cup, I will be, I don't know what bridge, but under some bridge in Toronto if I have to. Seriously. I will stay there for a week if I have to.
Now, on a more serious note too, about the Leafs, as we get into some more topics where we wrap up, the time's already flying by, already almost 10 minutes in. The grandfather of Victor Mete was killed in a mass shooting. The team held a moment of silence before facing the Lightning last night. The grandfather of Toronto Maple Leafs defenseman Victor Mete was one of five people killed in a mass shooting in the Toronto suburb on Sunday. It was a shooting in Vaughan, Ontario. And Mete's grandfather's name is Vittorio Panza. I'm Italian, but I may have butchered that a bit, so please forgive me. But 79 years of age, and of course the Leafs and Victor and all the hockey community was certainly shocked by that. But it's very tragic. But you know, I wanted to bring that up because the organization, a great moment of silence, but it's a tough time for anyone to deal with that. And there comes a point where you got to take time away from the game. And of course, Victor is going to be handling that situation. A very sad time for Victor. And obviously when people read that, it's unfortunate to hear these stories that are coming up, not just even Toronto, in the world. I don't mean to bring up anything political. It's obviously a sports show, but it's very sad to read that.
No, absolutely. And yeah, it's one of those things that you just, nobody can ever see coming, right? So it's so shocking, and it really hits home when those things do happen, especially, like, obviously neither of us know Victor Mete personally, but just somebody that you follow and somebody that you appreciate, to see something like that and kind of have to understand the pain they're going through. It's hard to do. And yeah, love goes out to him, obviously.
150%. Now, of course, when you have the Maple Leafs as well, you had Bunting get pushed by a ref yesterday. You had Sergachev get fined. A little bit of dare I say, a little bit of unfinished business, I believe, there between Tampa and Toronto. And it is heating up that if their playoffs were to start today, you're looking at a rematch of last year. It doesn't matter, I think, whoever you play in the first round in the East. I think the East has got some good hidden talent, especially in the Metro Division with Carolina and New Jersey really battling it out. I think Carolina's got to have the upper hand on that, you would figure, because I think they're just a better team overall than New Jersey. New Jersey will get there. They are going to be a good team coming up, but you think of the Toronto Maple Leafs and the place that they're in. Vasilevsky yesterday, the Leafs are all shooting them, I believe, was 27-7 at one point, I believe was the number, or close to it than that. This is a team that could really push the offense, and like we've discussed, the change in defense has already been so structured, but the hard thing to really go against Tampa or even against Carolina, those teams, they say, are better built for the playoffs. So I want your opinion on how people say that Toronto's a team not built for playoffs, only regular season.
Well, I think that kind of goes with what I was talking about earlier. Just their identity has really changed. They've moved towards more of a defensively sound. They've been getting big performances from goaltenders, but the fact that they're a top five in goals against per game, to me, is huge, because they've never been anywhere close to that. That's always been the knock on them, is they're not big enough, they're not responsible enough, and even the leaders on that team have taken that criticism. I don't think anybody's ever had too much of an issue with the way Marner defends, but guys like William Nylander, you can really see that he's taken a step defensively this year. He's finishing back checks. He's forechecking. He's stripping pucks. It's just not something that you saw from him. And especially last year in that playoff series against Tampa, right? He went in there and he gave up on so many plays going into corners and behind the net and stuff like that. And then he ends up going to, I forget where the World Championship was held last year, but he played for Sweden at the World Championship. And he was throwing guys around, right? And that kind of had Leafs fans little bit upset, and I'm sure you remember that, because that was annoying.
Where was that, right?
Exactly. We've seen that from him this year, though, and to see those guys. And the other thing too, I think, is John Tavares has taken a step somehow at 33 years old, I believe he is. He's taken a step. He seems to be skating faster this year, which is always something that I saw John Tavares live when I was in like novice hockey, and one of the things even back then I said was he's not like, it's like he's skating in sand sometimes, it seems. And actually he switched up his skating coach over the summer. Yeah. And on top of him having a full summer of recovery for the first time since getting hit by Corey Perry in the face with the knee there, he's really taken a step this year, both offensively, but defensively. When John Tavares is at his best, he's like a bull. He's going into corners, like just like I was talking about Nylander doing, but he's so much stronger that he needs to use that.
He does. And you know what? The one thing about Tavares, and I'll say this isn't any type of flex. I brought this up on the show, and I've had the luxury at a young age. I was 13, where I had the chance to play against Tavares and against Stamkos in a game. And I always said Stammer was the better player because he was smaller and faster. Tavares always had that. He's a year older than I am. I'm a 90, of course, and I always felt, I'm not a 90. He's a 90. Sorry, I'm a 91. Steven Stamkos is obviously also a 90. They're the same age as each other. And Stamkos was faster, but Tavares always had that build that didn't have that great speed, but his hands, his shot was always next level. And that still transitions to today. And everyone always has that Stamkos-Tavares debate, and it's hard to go against what because of what Stamkos has done in Tampa, okay? But for Tavares, I think this year he's taken a pretty big turn. You know, when he first started in Toronto, he was hot that first year, right? 47 goals, I believe, and then the following year was the more of the shortened year, right? And then the following year after that, it was just a disaster those couple years because of playing and COVID and everything like that. Then you look at a full season last year, it was like, oh, he didn't even get 30 goals last year. Yeah, but you know what? He picked up a point in his game that you don't see a lot of is the assist side. Yes, he got assists to get out a lot of points on the Islanders, but you know what? He is a pure goal scorer, sniper mentality player that can tip pucks in the slot, and he's really effective at doing that on the power play, and he's shown how he can do that with directing his feet, his tipping, utilizing the goalie, whatever it may be. But I think he's taken a whole new level this year. He's just under a point a game, and he's definitely changed a lot this season for Toronto.
Yeah, and that's one of the things. That's his biggest trait, I would say, is within 6 feet of the net, there's nobody better. Joel Pavelski's another name that comes to mind when it comes to tipping pucks and tight ability. But that's always been his claim to fame. Is even back in the World Juniors, I remember watching him in like 09, just batting pucks in, being an absolute menace in front of the net. That's what he's good at. That's what makes him great.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And Avery, you know, I know we only talked a little bit more so about Toronto on here, but like I said, this was an introduction to have you on the Game Sports Show. And when you talk on Bitter Rivals, you're the Leaf side of things, of course. And I want to make sure that we, you know, kind of to transition your whole thought about Toronto, but we know that when the show continues, we talk about all teams. I want listeners and viewers to know that. It isn't just because Avery's joining another Leaf guy, it's going to be all about the Leafs. We talk about all teams here on Top Shelf, of course, but it's been good. I haven't had the opportunity myself to talk to Avery as much in depth here about Toronto, so it feels good. And the Leafs deserve the credit right now, okay? It's been good, and you got Sioux Native and Kyle Dubas on there. You got basically the Toronto Greyhounds on there. It's a lot of Sioux love there. So if you're from the Sioux tuning into this, or even from outside of the Sioux, you cannot help but admire the talent that they're putting on the ice right now and the comeback stories. And I say that as I knock on wood about Matt Murray and the goaltending, because, you know, something can happen out of the blue that just blows everything up, because that's what happens in Leafland. But overall, Toronto has shown that they are a top team in the league. They've continued to do so. Now they've got to break through that barrier in the playoffs when they do get there. So I'm only going to ask you, Avery, a couple questions just to kind of wrap up this. It's going to be yes or no questions, and they're not going to throw you for a loop, but I think you'll like – I'm kind of curious to know your answers with this. I'm going to shoot them at you. Will the Canadian World Junior team win the gold medal?
Yes.
How bad will the games be to watch in terms of seeing the other teams get killed?
It's going to be pretty painful.
It might be.
I think we're going to be pretty. We have like half of our team is from the NHL, so
it's going to be a zoo. Ovechkin, yeah. Does he pass Gretzky?
I think he passes Gretzky. He might even hit 1,000. Actually, we mentioned that on the Bitter Rivals this week. He might, if he gets another couple years after his current deal, he might hit 1,000.
And he's not going to retire, I think, until he does it. Honestly, going to tell you right now, I don't think he does it, or if he doesn't do it. Now, the other one I'll get into, the Calgary Flames, when they traded Huberto and Tkachuk, who's the winner to the trade at this point, Calgary or Florida?
Well, that's a tough one. I would say Florida, just based on the individual players' play.
And I'm taking one from the NHL.com here on this one. Pavelski or Carter? I already know this answer.
Pavelski.
Yeah, 100%. That was a very easy answer. Now, yeah. There's a rumor coming out with Seattle being in the upcoming Winter Classic. Not the one coming, the one following. Too early, or let's bring in the crack in the Winter Classic?
I say do it. I'm a Seattle Seahawks sports fan. They should do it at Lumen Field, and it'll be amazing.
Oh, good. Hey, I forgot you're a Seahawks fan. Totally forgot about that. Now, who wins the Metro, Carolina or New Jersey?
I'm going to go with Carolina just because I can't have any confidence in the goaltending for New Jersey.
100%. Now, those are some rapid questions, and I wanted to give some love to some other teams in there too for the show, because it was fun. Absolutely. Talking Leafs. Now, it's already been almost 19 minutes here, Avery, and we're getting towards the wrap-up already. Time flies when you're having fun. It's been a combined edition of In the Pocket and Top Shelf, our first time ever doing that. For me to switch gears from football to hockey, my brain doesn't compute that, it feels like. But Avery, I want to say welcome aboard, man, in terms of the Game Sports Show. You've always been with TGM since the opening posts of TGM, of course, with the Bitter Rivals side of things. And you have an episode, to give you some more promotion, you guys are doing a Christmas episode, I believe you mentioned, this week, right?
Yep, we'll have it uploaded. I believe it'll be 7 p.m. on Christmas Day. I'll probably record it the day before and then have it up for Christmas Day around 7 p.m.
Look at that, Christmas time. We're giving you a gift. The Game Sports Show's taking a break, but TGM's not really taking its break at the same time, because the Bitter Rivals guys are going to get you some content to get you through the Christmas holidays, because you're going to be starving for it. You got Boxing Day of the World Juniors. You got NHL being on a couple-day pause. So why not tune in to the TGM Network and, of course, the Bitter Rivals guys, where they're going to talk all the Leafs, Habs, and just overall NHL content that you enjoy. Now, Avery, like I've announced, you're going to be doing some hosting on the side of Top Shelf. I wanted to get you introduced to the listeners, but I want to overall say thank you for taking the time, because truthfully, this was a out-of-the-spur moment to do this upload today, and you dropped everything to do it, so I appreciate you coming on, and as I said at the beginning, welcome officially aboard to the Top Shelf and TGSS family, since you're already on TGM, but on the TGSS family too.
Yeah, thanks, man. I'm very happy to be here. Like I said, I can't wait to get started in the new year there. And yeah, no problem coming on today. Like I said, I'll take any time I can to talk hockey. So
talk hockey, especially when we're talking about Toronto. We didn't get to that. One thing I did forget to mention to you was the Cale Makar calling off the penalty. But we'll save that for maybe for another time on, even though it'll be a little bit outdated. I wonder if it's going to start being a routine where players stop, tell refs, no, that's not a penalty. Because I can't believe I've never seen that. That was so absurd. Listeners can comment below on what they thought about that. I know I'd be yelling at my team. I'd be like, what the fuck? Let that be a penalty. What are you doing? Awful. Okay, you don't have to. You're not going for, you know, the Bill Masterton trophy or the leader trophy there, whatever the hell. I probably got butchered that, but that's fine. It's okay. You're a Norris defenseman. Get on that power play and get points for your team. Awful.
Seriously.
But this has been Top Shelf and In the Pocket combined. I want to say thank you to EJ. I want to say thank you again to you, Avery, and of course to you, the listeners. Make sure you hit like, follow, and subscribe on all the platforms of both the Game Sports Show and, of course, TGM. We're going to have a whole new website, a whole new format. Don't worry. I'll explain it on a announcement upload prior to Christmas. As well, we do have our recent full-time upload. Avery's friend and co-host, Gaetano, was joined by Daniel Scarpino talking the World Cup final, which was fire, by the way. And we got this show, but we're going to have a special edition uploaded prior to Christmas as well here on the Game Sports Show. And that is our part two interview with myself and Parr with our good friend of the show, Zach Fucali, and World Junior legend with Canada as well. And of course, in the Washington Capitals organization, playing with the Hershey Bears currently now. So make sure you check that out. Be on all platforms. I'm here to remind you to keep your stick on the ice, swing your bats, catch your touchdowns, drain your threes, and shoot your shots. Booyah.